And it's 2 o'clock, and it is time now for your appointment with Elizabeth Barrett, the Reluctant Therapist. Well, what's on your mind today, Elizabeth?
My family started the first pencil company in the United States in 1889. My great-great-grandfather came over from Germany with the pencil lead formula and started the first pencil company. And so we're six generations into being pencil makers from our factory in Jersey City, New Jersey. My daughter, Kirsten, is the most recent member of the family. She's been working for the family business for over 15 years. My sister, Katie, is our president of the company. And all of us are called into service at different times throughout my life. I have packed pencils, worked at trade shows, delivered pencils, and had a really profound family experience being part of something that's celebrating over 150 years of making pencils in the United States in the same factory that my great-great-grandfather started making pencils. And throughout the years, we've been a part of different trends in the art business. But about, and I'm not going to get my dates correct because it's, you know, COVID brain loss. But I would say in the last 10 or 15 years, my sister Katie discovered this art form, meditative art form called Zentangle. And I'm not really sure how she first got introduced to it, but she started talking about this fabulous doodling, mind calming, mindfulness, meditative experience that she was taking part in. And they were using our pencils as part of the Zentangle training. And over the years, she's just gotten more and more invested in it. And I love the beautiful tiles that she creates. And whenever we're together, she has her little Zentangle pack where, you know, she has her book and she has her pens and she has her pencils and she works on these little patterns and she just sits quietly. And it's been remarkable how it's transformed her life in many, many ways. And she got so invested in the Zentangle program that she became a teacher and she goes back to the trainings back east and has just shared her love for this anxiety reducing, life calming, art building experience that is Zentangle. And because of all the therapeutic benefits, I thought it'd be really fun to talk to the founders of this program that have been so transformative in my sister's lives. Here's my sister's life, but also my niece has become a trainer with Zentangle as well. And she uses it as part of her mindfulness practice. And she's a yoga teacher and a women's empowerment workshop leader. And she brings Zentangle into that. And whenever we have family gatherings, there are Zentangle pencils and patterns and books on the table. And so the kids, nieces and nephews come in and grab a pencil and they'll start doing patterns and designs. And it's something that has become part of our family story and also a really lovely partnership with General Pencil Company, which is our family business. So in keeping with our theme this week of Mental Health Awareness Month, I've invited Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas, who are the founders of Zentangle, to come in and talk about how they discovered this fabulously simple and yet incredibly detailed and ornate style of mindfulness and calming that can be done in your lap with a simple square and a pencil, and you don't need anything else. No particular extraneous items. You don't need to purchase expensive things. You don't have to go to a mental health professional. That you have the access to bringing yourself into right relationship with your own inner story and your calm of your nervous system just with a pencil, pen, and a little square. And it's Zentangle. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. You can be part of the conversation today by giving us a call, and it's a little different, our phone number, because you're going to call, and if you have a question or comment, you'll leave it with Brad, and he'll go ahead and share it with us, because we have our guests on Zoom today, being the ultra-modern radio program that we are. So if you'd like to participate in the conversation, and I encourage you to, especially if you've had any experience with Zentangle, Our number is 805-781-3876. I'm hoping that my sister will call and talk about the life transformation she experienced and continues to experience with Zentangle. So our number is 805-781-3876. You can also find me after the show by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram. You can also find Zentangle on all of your social medias. If you want to follow along and check in while we're talking today, you can see exactly what we're talking about with the patterns and the artistic beauty that this simple program brings to people's lives. You can check out Zentangle.com if you'd also like to jump in today and see in real time what it is we're talking about. You can also listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. And if you'd like to podcast our show to listen at your convenience or to share the show with others, go to wherever it is you find your podcast, through Spotify, NPR Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe, leave a review so other people can find us, and then you'll be able to listen at your convenience. So I think that's it for now. We're going to take a quick break and bring our guests in to join the conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Or just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art?
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And welcome to the show, Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for inviting us, Elizabeth.
This is very exciting. Yes.
It's fun to meet you in person after all this time. And I don't know if you have the dates, but how long has Katie been involved with Zentangle and working with you?
Well, We don't know.
We sit on the porch and try to remember the history, but it's like you said, it's well over 15 years. We started out with some small pencils, and I think that our pen, the people we work with the pens, Sakura, were really good friends with General Pencil, and they turned us on to General Pencil, and it's been a great relationship ever since.
It has been a fabulous relationship. And again, it's transformed my sister's life in many ways. And it's so much fun as her big sister to see her finding a passion that's so deep and something that's been so great at stabilizing that those feelings of mental wellness, which is kind of the theme this month of Mental Health Awareness Month, and to be proactive in finding those joys, those passions, those interests, those curiosities that stabilize us and protect our wellness. And I know Zentangle has been that for her. So for those who are not aware or, you know, familiar with Zentangle, let's start with what Zentangle is, and then I want to talk about how you two came together. But if you could describe Zentangle and the name for people who have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, it's spelled Zentangle.
Okay.
And it is a very simple method. It's got 8 steps for creating something really beautiful, really simply, with simple tools. And it's very accessible, particularly for people who believe they can't draw a straight line. Those are our favorite, you know, I can't draw, I'm not an artist. Okay, you're the best candidate here, because then you discover, wow, I can do something that I knew I couldn't do. What else can I do that I knew I couldn't do?
It's so great to see the transformation of a person that when they walk in and they're a little hesitant and they're looking around and they're kind of holding themselves because they're a little nervous and they haven't drawn anything beautiful or anything since like third grade. And here they are, they're 50 or 60 years old, and they're willing to take a chance with us, which we're ever so grateful. And to see how the minute we start putting our pencil and pen to paper, the shoulders go back a little bit, the tension goes away, and we're off. And mm-hmm. in the first half an hour, we can get them to believe that they can do this.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. they see what they did. So it's pretty cool.
So it's I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, I've also experienced Entangle. Katie has come in and done some trainings in my classrooms for me over the years. And I love seeing the students that exact what you described. They're kind of hunched over. They look like they wish they could leave. They don't know what we're getting them into. And yet within 10 minutes and simple lines, they're all amazed by what they've created and how different everyone's art looks, even following the same direction.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing to watch, or it's really gratifying to watch when people discover abilities within themselves that not only does what they create look good to them, but the feelings and the sensations and where they go internally mm-hmm. is, that was a surprise to us how profound that was.
Yeah.
So let's talk about then the founding of Zentangle, because Maria, I understand that you've been an artist, a professional artist, and created botanical pieces. So you mm-hmm. come to this from an art background. And then Rick, I think yours was more of a science based or more business model based.
It's like all over the map, you know.
Okay.
If we had ever gone to a dating app, we would never have found each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I like everything that she doesn't like, and she likes everything. You know, we're drawn to totally different things, but the chemistry that comes together is really been exciting, and what has come out of us coming together was that mix of sort of that eclectic mix of intuitive artistic creating on Maria's part and a you know, maybe more technical and spiritual perspective, like I lived as a monk for 17 years, you know, that sort of thing, informed different aspects. So when what was the spark for Zentangle sparked, both of us recognized it, and we're able to keep it alive until it is just spread everywhere.
So take me all the way back then to how the two of you first met. Because if you would have never been matched on a dating app, how did you then find each other? And were you a practicing monk at the time? Did Maria break your vows?
Well, he's no longer a monk. But we live in the same tiny town in Massachusetts, Whitensville. And we both went to the same high school, but we didn't really know each other because I was a few years older than him. And you never date down. You know how that is in high school, right? And he went away after he graduated. He went away and traveled around the world. I got married young and had a family, you know, three kids and a house in Whitensville and settled. And then I started my business. I had a calligraphy business that was very successful. And I'm so grateful to be able to have worked at home while I was raising my kids. It was a beautiful, wonderful experience every day. Anyway, so Rick used to come to my office to use my fax machine. I had the first fax machine in town. And then he just sort of, and I said, oh, I remember you from high school. You were the brain in school. You know, there's a brain, and I was the artist, you know.
And so we ended up, we were both dating other people at the time. Our spouses had left us, and we would walk for breakfast, and we just became walking buddies, and we were with other people. It was sort of like dating in an old Victorian time with your aunt walking 10 feet behind, you know. And we talked about geometry and art and politics and nature and everything. And so by the time both of us were available,
about 2 years
into that, we went to a movie. We were both, you know, available, went to a movie. I stayed over and I never left. And,
nope.
And so here we are.
That was 23 years ago. Yeah. And I think.
It must have been a great movie.
It was.
Well, there was a lot of preparation for
it. Yeah, I mean, we had been walking together for 2 years. Anyway, so fast forward to throughout maybe the, like 2 years after we were together, I was working in my studio.
No, it was 9 months. I remember that.
Stop.
It was.
So I'm working in my studio. And I was working on a really big illuminated letter, one of those big gilded letters from the medieval times. And so I had a request to do a big one for a client. And I had been working in the background of the letter, putting in these tiny patterns, you know, elaborating on the all the different things on the thing. And Rick had walked in about 3 hours after I had gotten started. And,
you know, it's like, Babe, where's lunch? And she, it was like she was waking up out of a nap, but she was awake. Mm-hmm, and she was totally in, you know, what people describe as a flow state.
Yes.
And we started talking about it, and she was like, well, she was describing it. She didn't know how long the time had been there. I can't believe it's already 12 o'clock. I can't believe all the work I've done. I'm so amazed at how good I feel, and I wasn't thinking about all the things on my to-do list and worries.
Well, I just want to jump in at this point. I am one of those people that would never be able to meditate. My mind's going, and yet I went into this so easily. Hmm. And so he says, well, you're describing meditation.
So it was like our, and this is something for all of the listeners to think of, you know, it's not like we were so clever that we thought up Zentangle. Mm-hmm. It was more like these events aligned themselves in such a way and then presented them in a synchronistic way that it's like, oh, this is something to pay attention to. And mm-hmm. I think that happens in everybody's life. Mm-hmm. And to have that, okay, I'm going to, you know, curate and cultivate this little sprout of an idea and really caretake it and see where it goes. I think that's the biggest message that I think is one of our inspirations.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist, and my guests today are Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas, the founders of Zentangle, and we're talking about this unique meditative mindfulness-based art form that's accessible to all people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so powerful. I want to go back, Maria, to what you're working on, because I'm imagining what I would call filigrees, like
yes.
that. And so
yes.
you were doing that kind of filigree art that you would see in old ancient art. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like what became the origin then of the Zentangle patterns. Would that be correct?
Exactly. So what we discovered, what we talked about after this, well, what was I doing that was different? Because I wasn't writing, and you had to know how to spell, and if you had to be paying attention, I wasn't writing. I wasn't concerned about where I was going with the patterns, because I was inside the letter, mm-hmm. and it just flowed like a beautiful thing. And I love to draw. I can draw all day, all night. And if he asked me what I want to do today, I'm going to draw. And so anyway, and Rick said, brought up a couple of other things.
Well, one of the things that was different, well, the context is we would do these calligraphy shows and people would watch Maria write and say, oh, I wish I could do that, but I don't have the talent, the time, the tools, the money, the whatever the reasons were.
There were 8 things.
And we then 10. Noticed that, well, it is really, it takes a long time to learn how to be a calligrapher. But mm-hmm. anybody who could sign their name could have been making those little patterns that Maria was making behind that letter. And that was the spark. Is like, mm-hmm. okay, we can share this with people. And we just started giving classes, you know, at the local bookstore or any place anybody would have us. And actually that weekend, that very day, we booked a bed and breakfast in Western Mass, took a blank book and just filled it. And it was like we were taking dictation.
So we designed the entire program in one weekend, and we've never changed it. We've added to a little bit, but we've never changed the basic premise of what Zentangle is about, drawing with the intention of relaxing and focusing, and things grew out of it very quickly, and it was amazing to watch. And I just wanted to say that I kept thinking, why us? Why was it presented to us? And of course, it's because he was a monk and I was an artist. And the combination of the two of us made that perfect, chemistry mm-hmm. that was necessary. I mean, how many monks and artists live together? I mean, they're usually not living with monks. And anyway, it became this mission, passion. And after about 2 years, the kids came to us and said, you know, you guys are getting busier and busier. You know, pick one or the other, your calligraphy or this Zentangle thing. And that day I wrote to all my dealers all around the world that were selling my work. And I said, you know, this is the last day, and I'm off to greener pastures and exciting adventures. And it's been so exciting. When we started teaching people all over the world, right away, we couldn't figure out where they were coming from and how they found out about us.
Yeah. No, there's clearly there was a need somewhere that people were searching for this, and you found it. And I love the reference back to the monk, because I think for Maria, you have found this flow state, this organic flow state in your art. But Rick, there must have been something in you that resonated with what she was doing, because I imagine this was not a form of meditation or calming that you'd ever participated in. So when you first started doing these patterns, how did it impact you? Did you find that flow state right away as well?
Well, there's something about putting... So when we... Let me back up. There are no mistakes in Zentangle art. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our foundational approaches. And that doesn't mean that things don't happen that you would prefer didn't happen, but we don't plan everything out ahead of time. And it relieves the whole way the method works is it relieves the disappointment of what you might have done before and the anxiousness of what you might have to do next. And you can really focus on the moment. Mm-hmm. And that is such a precious thing. And it resonates out into one's life, into one's habits, into how you, instead of reacting, you really develop an ability to respond, or like I play with the word, a response ability to situations. And so the answer is yes. And it's not even if somebody practiced meditation. It's just part of our human nature to, when you're creating something beautiful, there's something about when that pen touches the paper and you're watching it, all of the anxiety or the other things that would be like, oh, I got to take the trash out. Oh, I forgot to call so-and-so. All of that is just sort of not there. Yeah. And it creates an opening for inspiration, for good feelings, for gratitude. And I think we're still trying to figure out the mix of the elixir that is Zentangle, because it just has such amazing results.
So I'm going to push back on you though, because you were the monk and had spent years meditating. And as Maria said, I would have never been a meditator, but I mm-hmm. found that art was my meditation. But you now have spent 20 plus years doing this. How did this work? How did you translate this to your years of meditation? Because it wasn't your first language. So how did you adapt to, how did you take to this when it first started? Or were you more of an observer?
It's actually more easy for me to go into that relaxed, focused state if I'm tangling than if I'm sitting there okay, attention back to breath. Okay, when there's actually a physical engagement going on with mm-hmm. that pen on that paper, and there's you're in a rhythm, in a pattern, it's, for me, and I'm just speaking for me, it's way yes. easier to just quickly go into that zone, and other ideas and inspirations. You know, that's not to take away from that absolute quiet, eyes shut, you know, focused space, but mm-hmm. it's great. And you don't have to even call it meditation it's a natural, you know, think kids out on the lawn playing, looking at the sky and picking out animals that are in the cloud shapes. You know, it's mm-hmm. just a beautiful, accessible space that you can have in your pocket.
Which is one of the things I love. And it's one of the challenges I have with my students every quarter is awakening their creative juices. Mm. You know, I work with psych students mostly, but I have business students and engineering students. And what I've seen is that most of them have lost their connection to their creative drives, or they don't recognize what they're doing as creative. They're so focused on the business of being a student or school or completing tasks. And so to help them or encourage them to tap into the creativity, and the only way I get there is when I show them the research that drive for creativity is one of the most fundamental things that human beings are drawn to. If you watch children dance, or like you talk about draw, or lay down and look at the clouds, like that is our thrive as human beings. And when you lose that, you lose that ability to calm your mental health and well-being. And once they start to see that connection, that research, they're much more open to allowing their creativeness to come forth. And then I'm just wondering what your experience has been with people who have almost shut down their creative drive and decided that it doesn't exist in them. You know, have you seen that as well, that people have just almost shuttered that part of themselves for years and years?
Well, a lot of people that come to us have said, and they have the same story. When I was in the fourth grade, mm-hmm. my teacher told me, you are not an artist. Don't bother trying it. You know, stick to mathematics, you know. Mm-hmm. And they took that to heart. And either that or one of a good, well-meaning parent saying, you know, don't worry about that. You're not an artist. Do something else. But they really wanted to create, and they wanted to be an artist. And these are the people that are coming to us and say, we heard that you could give us this back. And in a half an hour, they are on their way. In a half hour. And
the reason that is so cool is that we're not giving them anything. It's mm-hmm. always been there. And mm-hmm. we're just showing, like, here's the latch. And the door doesn't swing this way. It swings the other way. And everything that you've been looking to find outside to put in yourself is already there. And we're just going to show you a clever little way to let it come out and let it begin to move. And then you start to realize, oh my gosh, everything I can do, or everything I do, can be an art form.
I love that.
Right? And it changes your position in your relationship with the world you find yourself in. It's like, oh my gosh, I can make the bed differently every day. I can walk a different route to whatever. You know, everything becomes a deliberate act of potential beauty.
Yes. I think that to me is the overarching power of the simpleness of Zentangle, that you do this one small but beautiful piece, and it opens up your mindset to start looking at how you move things in your house, or what you put on your plate for mm-hmm. dinner. Like when you start talking about or seeing life through the lens of art, I think it starts to awaken a different part of our whole soul and psyche. To see every moment of our life as art is huge. If you're just tuning in, my guests today are Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas. They are the founders of Zentangle, that has been teaching the art of meditative drawing for over 20 years. They've trained over 8,000 teachers in 80 countries. And it all started with a little moment in Maria's art studio. We're going to take a quick break and come back and open up our phone lines if you have questions or comments and continue our conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail right round all the seven oceans, drop it straight into the deep blue sea. She's as sweet as Tupelo honey, she's an angel of the first degree. She's as sweet, she's as sweet as Tupelo honey, just like honey baby from the sea. You can't stop us on the road to freedom, you can't keep us 'cause our eyes can see. Men within sight, men in granite, knights in armor bent on chivalry.
I'm Elizabeth Baird, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist with my guests, Rick and Maria, the founders of Zentangle. And we're talking about how they discovered this beautiful, simple, and powerful meditative form of art and how they've impacted thousands and thousands of people around the world, one of which being my sister, who introduced Zentangle to me, and I have in turn introduced it to my students over the last many years, and my niece is involved. My entire family is involved with Zentangling, every family gathering, because my sister has introduced this form of calming that has been really powerful. So Rick and Maria, let's talk about the nitty-gritty of Zentangle. And what is the actual Zentangle method? Because as Maria said, you developed it right away and haven't mm-hmm. changed over the years. So what are those eight steps? What is the Zentangle method?
Well, it's not what you expect.
Okay.
Because the first step is gratitude. And it is, in our mind, the most important step. And to take a moment to be, you know, grateful for your tools, grateful for the opportunity to create something beautiful, and just to put yourself into that mindset of gratitude. So step one is gratitude.
And does that come from your years of training as a meditating monk?
I think it just comes from realizing that is the key to everything working. If somebody came early to us and said, you know, what are the requirements to become a Zentangle teacher? And this was before we had our first class. And well, what do I need to be or do? And one of us said, the requirements are passion and gratitude.
Okay.
We can teach you everything else that we know, but if you don't have that passion, if you don't have that gratitude, I don't know how to teach that.
And that's true. So gratitude and your attitude coming into it is step one. Okay. So I've got that going for me.
The second step, because we knew that we would be teaching people who were really afraid, and the fear of the blank piece of paper is a real thing. Even worse, because we're telling them the paper that we use in our teachings is this made in a paper mill in Fabriano, Italy, that's 600 years old. Talk about, you know, your pencil factory. Mm-hmm. And we have this beautiful, beautiful handmade paper that we cut into 3.5-inch squares because we thought that people would have enough time in a day to fill that paper. And that's how we decided on the 3.5-inch squares. And so we have this piece of paper, they have their pencil, and the second step is putting a dot in the four corners. Now it's not an empty paper.
And why is that? How did you come up with that four corner dots?
Well, That's part of the mystery. You know, okay. It's like, part of the thing was we looked at the reasons that people told Maria and me that they couldn't do what Maria was doing at these craft fairs. And we said, we're going to build this so that we remove all of the objections, remove all of the obstacles that people see in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I don't have the time. We'll make it a small piece of paper. I don't know how to start or where to go. Well, we'll build on success upon success. Okay, you can pick up the pencil. You can put a dot in each corner. Okay, we've broken that whole thing of the worry of the blank sheet of paper.
Yes.
Next step, third step, still with the pencil, is you connect those dots with the pencil to form a border.
Okay.
So, sort of straight-ish lines, but not necessarily straight.
So Maria's really into wonky, not straight lines.
Yeah, and he's got too. The straight lines almost with a ruler. So,
and we didn't realize the profoundness of a lot of this. So, you know, in drawing that border, and then working with a lot of people that have gone through really difficult times, and with, you know, appropriate to this month, Mental Health Month. Mm-hmm. We've been working with, you know, UMass Mind and a lot of different hospitals and research centers. And I think there's something really important about defining your own boundaries. Mm, and you're mm-hmm. defining a boundary on this little piece of paper over which you have total agency and you're not worried about it. And for a lot of people, this was one of the first times they had set their own boundaries. Mm. And you don't have to point it out. But it resonates. Things resonate and ripple out beyond the tile onto the canvas of your life. You know, it's really, really cool. And, you know, people, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to go on to the third step.
Okay.
Okay. Fourth step. The fourth step is what we call a string. And okay. if you dropped a string on top of a piece of paper, it would all kind of go willy-nilly, and that's what we want it to look like. So we want you to take the pencil and do mm-hmm. a scribble doodle. It's the only time we ever use the word doodle, because that's the only time it is actually one. And so you just put down a few lines, and what this does is it separates your paper into little sections in which we will put our tangles.
And tangles is our word for patterns.
Right.
So, because I'm drawing as we're talking right now.
Okay.
So the fourth step, there's no rhyme or reason. I just draw some strings on my paper.
Squiggly line or a few straight lines. That doesn't matter.
So do they connect?
Yep, they connect. They overlap.
Can, yeah.
It can be any sort of anything that goes inside that border or even scoots outside it a bit that creates sections on the tile.
Gotcha.
Because think of it like, it creates sections into which we're going to pour the tangles. You know,
is that number five?
That's number five. So number five is you put your pencil away, pick up your pen, and then we have hundreds of named patterns. And it's we take this really lighthearted approach, and we look at elemental strokes, which we call is our name for a dot, straightish line, a curve, an S shape, and an orb, roundish.
Okay.
And with that, if you can basically write your name, you can do any Zentangle pattern. And
okay.
This system of step outs. First you do this, now you do that, now you fill that in, now you do this, and you take those tangles or patterns and pick one of those sections and draw it in that section.
How do you decide which tangle you're going to do?
Well, you could roll a dice. You could have a favorite one. You could do the one that the friend sitting next to you is doing. Close your eyes and put your finger on the paper.
Over the years or over time, people learn more and more tangles from all over the world, because this stuff is all over the place, and people are teaching it online in every town and everything, in schools, in hospitals, in VA hospitals. And anyway, so the tangles go together, and they're almost like a magic trick. Mm. You know, they, you know, first you do this and you show that, and you do this and that, and then da-da, there's the ending, and it's beautiful. And the pattern is beautiful. And
now I love the baskets, the yeah. basket weave. That's yeah. my, that always surprises me.
And it's, we think of patterns, we think of these patterns as colors. So
okay.
you can create, and you normally we started out with just black ink on white paper, but we also use color, and a lot of general pencils, colored pencils, and we've gone sort of crazy with all that. But there is something very different about working from a predefined pattern instead of trying to think about what am I going to draw next. Mm-hmm. So once you've chosen that, whatever pattern you're going to do, you just follow the steps of the step out. And that is how you go into that, okay, I know what I'm going to do next. I don't have to worry about where it's going. I don't have to think about when it's going to stop, because I'm just going to fill up the section defined by the string. And if I go outside it, well, it was in pencil. I can keep going if I want. So it's a totally different mindset than when you come up with, oh, I'm going to come up with a pattern. But when you're tangling, it's like I'm in the zone.
And that's where you enter that flow state, I guess, I imagine. Yeah,
absolutely.
Is that number six then?
Let's see. Appreciate, dot, border, string, tangle. That was number five.
Yep.
Okay.
So we keep doing that. But we start out with real simple patterns. I mean, nothing that people can't pull off the first time they're doing this. And the simple patterns are great. They're great. You use them all the time. But also, people now are, it's getting kind of sophisticated. So people are designing their own tangles and sharing them with anybody and everybody. Yeah. That's unheard of in the art world. Most people are sort of protective of what they design and what they do. They don't want anybody to. This is a whole different ball game. I've never seen it before. That's exciting to me.
If you're just tuning in, my conversation today is with Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas, the founders of Zentangle. We're celebrating this mindfulness meditative art form that anyone can do. And we're celebrating Mental Health Awareness Month. And if you have a question or comment or an experience with Zentangle, you'd like to be part of the conversation, now's a great time to call. Our number is 805-781-3876. And Brad will be happy to read your question over the air. So I know there's eight steps, and I'm going to make sure we cover them all before I jump into my other question. So where do we get to number six?
Okay. Now, once you've finished with your pen and all of your tangles or your patterns are there, you put your pen down and get that beautiful general pencil back. And now you shade it.
Oh, okay.
So you can add nuance. You can
dimension
and push things to the background, lift things up. And it's something that is just a wonderful way to, you know, a lot of times I know our daughter Molly will spend more time shading than she does tangling, because it's almost like, okay, now I can really like just get into it and, you know, get just really sculpt it. And I think that's a really good word. You're sculpting it and dimensionalizing it, and it's entrancing.
That's number six.
That's number six.
Okay. Number seven is to sign it on the front with we use like initials on the front, because it's such a small piece of paper, you don't want to put your whole name, it would take over the whole paper. So we decided that the front would be signed with a chop, either your initials or some sort of a small design that would say that it's yours, and then sign your thing on the back of the tile and date it. And maybe if you want to keep track of how many, this is my third or it's my fifth, you know, tile. And after that, the last.
So anyways, just to comment a little bit about on that is like, this is an artistic creation. Artists sign their work, And, mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Take ownership of it. And really, it's part of that care of using good tools and deliberate strokes and then owning it and signing it. Yeah. And then
I like that. I like that stage. Yes. Because I think taking the time to acknowledge the ways in which we matter in the world are already overlooked. And mm-hmm. to sign something is a bold step. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, that might be the hardest step of all.
Yeah.
I know my mother has been an artist for many, many years, and it took forever for us to get her to sign her beautiful paintings. So I've seen that hesitation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then the last step is to appreciate and gratitude again. So out of steps, two of the steps, or 25% of this whole process is gratitude. And a lot will say, hold it out at arm's length, turn it this way and that. And really, I did that. And this is, and look for the beautiful things in it. And then if you're in a group or in a class, everybody puts their tiles together in a mosaic. That's why we call them tiles.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And it's really profound to see your work in a group, in a mosaic. It's quite an experience, particularly for people that this is new or creating art about which they're really uncertain. And then they see it among the others and it just fits perfectly. And that mosaic couldn't exist without their tile and mm-hmm. all the metaphors that go with that.
For being a part of a community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mattering, making a difference. If you weren't there, there'd be a hole in that space. I love all of that.
Yeah.
And I noticed on the back of the cards too, and maybe just Katie has, my sister has us do this, that we write an intention before we start. Mm-hmm. Is that also common? Is that part of the gratitude at the beginning?
It can be. A lot of people will lightly write in pencil before they start tangling, like something they're grateful for or some intention they want to work or some prayer they have for somebody. And they'll put that on the tile and then, by the time you've tangled and shaded, you can't see it, but you know it's there.
Yeah. So how has this Zentangle journey influenced or impacted your lives? And your daughters are also both a part of your Zentangle world and mm-hmm. our teachers. How has this informed and changed you as a couple, an individual, and family?
Also our granddaughter and our friends and our neighbors work here. Yeah.
We are still very passionate about it. And we'll talk like this. We'll talk to anybody and teach. We love our seminars and teaching on stage for four days straight. And the passion, the room, 300 people in a room. And the minute they put that pencil down, pin drop silence. It is the most amazing thing for anybody to witness how 300 women or half, men can be that quiet. Nobody even coughs or they don't clear their throat. It's just amazing.
If I were to work to say, how it's changed our day-to-day life, it would be that our slogan is anything is possible one stroke at a time. And the biggest change for us is that, if something happened that one of those uh-oh moments or what are we going to do about this? It would be, okay, well, we'll fix it. First we'll do this, then we'll do that, and then we'll do the next thing. And we got like 17 steps all figured out. And on step 5, it doesn't work out. So now we got to do the whole thing over again. What's happened now is like, okay, what's the next step? Let's focus on that. Let's do it as beautifully and gratefully as we can. And then after that, we'll look at that tile of the situation and see what's the next stroke. Mm-hmm. And the anxiety of trying to plan everything out and the disappointment of one of those steps going off kilter is all gone. And we've without even thinking about it, it's like, yeah, we can face anything, It's a toolkit. And it's like, okay, this is how you do it. Okay, what's the next stroke? Do it beautifully. Remember, you can shade it. Always be grateful, you know.
We teach them how to fix situations. It's part of the classes and what to do if that happens.
Yeah. And, you know, like what Maria is saying, that concept of no mistakes in Zentangle art, it's like, of course, you know, stuff happens. You know, you spill whatever and it ruins, quote unquote, or colors the whole project. But then you develop a muscle group and an intuition to say, okay, now this has happened. What can I do with it? That's one of the reasons we have no erasers in Zentangle art, because you ring the bell, you can't unring it. So let's work with the way it is in our world as we find it. So now the wine is spilled on the tile. Well, how can we creatively use that to make it even perhaps more beautiful than we would have thought doing?
And have a story that goes with it.
And that's when the real creativity is called out of you. If every tangle goes perfectly and you never screw up or whatever that means, you know, as you're doing it, it's different than when something goes really out of kilter and now you've really called for your creativity to come forward. And that can be really exciting. And when you develop a confidence for that, wait a minute, this wasn't expected, but I've seen it become more beautiful than I could have imagined. It's really transformative.
As an artist, I always, whenever something happened to a piece that I did, it always made me do something that made it so much better that I wouldn't have thought of doing it. With that mindset, we can do that on a 3.5-inch tile. We can do that.
Well, and I love all of the metaphors and analogies to life in the simplicity. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Rick and Maria, that in the working of these tiles and the tangles, you can create every part of your life as art, as you mentioned. So even if you're going through a health issue or a transition or grief or loss or a new job, you know, any area of your life, you can transform that experience into almost an art project if you have the attitude towards it. I mean, that seems so simple, but I don't know if I've ever made that connection to every aspect of our life, to see what seems like a roadblock or a devastation or a loss really opens up the opportunity for a different shade or tangle to add to your life story.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah. My 100%. Guests today are Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas, the founders of Zentangle. How do people find you? And you talk about teaching classes. Do people come for days? Are there classes online? How, if someone's been listening and they're excited, besides going to Zentangle.com, how can they participate? How can they learn this?
Well, if you go to Zentangle.com, sign up for our newsletter. We also have a YouTube channel. We have an app on Apple and Android, Zentangle Mosaic.
A blog.
And we have a blog that's on the website. We're on the usual menu of social media. But, you know, we have trainings that we do for teachers once or twice a year. And then there are, like you said, there's thousands of teachers everywhere, and you can look them up on the website, find them, reach out to us. One of the most exciting and wonderful aspects of Zentangle that we didn't anticipate is the amazing community that has grown up around this, and, you know, people having this shared appreciation of what is possible has just been the most beautiful thing to see come together.
Do you call them Zentanglers? Is that your
Tanglers?
Yeah,
Tanglers.
Just Tanglers, yeah. And it continues to be just a wonderful ride, and we're so grateful. The people we meet are so wonderful, and, you know, we say, I don't know if Zentangle attracts really good people or it brings out the best in the people it attracts, but whatever the formula is, we're having a wonderful time and very, very grateful for that.
I love the idea of it brings out the best in people. Because I am someone who believes that all of, you know, everyone has a story underneath their, you know, their exterior that's wanting to be told. And I love the idea that if you're doing something simple that takes you out of your ego and out of your day-to-day, that you can tap into, any person can tap in to that goodness and that heart and that love that's just underneath the surface for so many. And to see that way through Zentangling. What are some places, I mean, you've talked about, you know, classes and seminars in different hospitals. Are you seeing Zentangle working, you know, with children and schools and universities? What are some of the places in our last minute here together that people have done it?
It's just something that is, we didn't touch on it. We could do a whole other hour on the communities that are served, you know. Like you said earlier, there's everybody has issues in their life and challenges, and we've had the stories of, you know, substance abuse, recovery, suicide, walking back from suicides, enabling conversations to happen that couldn't happen before, health benefits, pain recovery, sleeping when you couldn't. I mean,
confidence.
You know, we're not making any medical claims, but these are the anecdotes that pour in, and we're very fortunate. We also have the Zentanglefoundation.org, where there's a lot of studies that you can visit there and see and help if you'd like to join.
I love it. Rick and Maria, thank you so much for spending this hour with me during Mental Health Awareness Month. If people would like to be introduced to Zentangle at Zentangle.com, you can access social media and the YouTube channel and find the app and find your way to your first Zentangle experience, which I imagine will not be your last. I am so happy that you've become a part of our family story, and I wish you both such joy moving forward and continued success.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having us. Yes.
This has been a conversation with The Reluctant Therapist. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook. Send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Check out our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. There's a book on that website that's available. So I look forward to hearing from you and continuing this conversation next Tuesday at 2, right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. Home.